This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Ruchim Abayim. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua. We're learning Mesachas Ksubos, Daf Yod Ches Amud Beis. We begin 6 lines from the bottom on Yod Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara had a kasha. The only reason why we have to talk about karka is because if it's metaltalin, then we don't really have a case where you're only believed when you have a pesha asar, but you would not be believed if you don't have a pesha asar. We could not conjure up a case by metaltalin where if you don't have Edim, you would be believed. And if you have Edim on the loan, you wouldn't be believed. The Gemara said, even if you had Edim on the loan, you'd be believed to say you paid back. Because Hamava is Chaver ba'Edim. The Gemara said on the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, you don't have to pay back with Edim. So the Gemara says, why don't we just pick a case of where you say, I lent your father, I borrowed a money from your father, and I paid back half. And you're Neman, because it's like a Pesha Asar. And the Gemara asked, well, who would that be like? According to the Rabbanan, you're a Meshav Aveda. And even if the children are Toivea the money, you didn't have to agree to anything. So the fact that you did is a free will offering, and you would be believed, irrespective of the Pesha Asar. And if it goes according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even if nobody was Toiveya, the Gemara asks, even if no one is Toiveya, you'd be Chayev to swear. That was the Gemara's Kasha, Miman of Shach. The Gemara said, you can't pick a case where somebody said to their friend, you know, I borrowed money from your father and I paid back halfway, and I'm Neman, because according to the Rabbanon, I'm Neman because it's a Meshav Aveda. And the way Rashi explained that, it's a Meshav Aveda. And why would Rabbi Yeshua only say if the person is not Toiveya, even if he is Toiveya? And according to Elazar ben Yaakov, even if he's not Toiveya, I'm still Chayiv Shvua. Now the Gemara said, well, it's talking about Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, we're talking about a situation where the Katan makes a Taina. So Gemara asks, what do you mean if a katan's taina, it has no legal significance? So Gemara says, the toivea was a gadon, he's called a katan, because regarding the matters of his father, he's a katan. So Gemara says, if that's the case, it's tainas acherim. No, it's hoidas atzmai. Gemara says, every single case is that way. So basically, we're up to where the Gemara makes an about face, and the Gemara basically is going to say that the tviya of a katan has halachic significance. When do we say the tviya of a katan does not have halachic significance? That's if the katan is toiveya, his own money. But if he's making a tviya on behalf of the father, then the taina of a katan has halachic significance. And ultimately, what the Gemara is going to say is that according to the Chachamim, if a katan is toiveya, 100, and I say I paid back 50, I'm a Meshav Aveda. Why am I a Meshav Aveda? Because the truth is, I would deny everything. I would have the audacity, the Gemara is going to say, to deny everything. And therefore, I am a Meshav Aveda by admitting to half. And I don't need a Pesha Asar, meaning Rabbi Yeshua says you're believed because Ein Shar Shachad Lefanecha. According to the Chachamim, even if the other person is Toiveya, I'm Pater because I'm a Meshav Aveda. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that I am not a Meshav Aveda. And even if the other person is not, and when the other person is Toiveya, then I have to swear. Why do I have to swear when the other person is Toiveya? Because I would not necessarily have the audacity to deny the whole thing. The same way I have to swear when I'm a Moed B'Miktsas, when a regular person makes a Tviya, when a Katan makes a Tviya, I also would not have the audacity to deny the whole thing. When all is said and done, when all the dust has settled, I didn't read the end of the Gemara yet, but we don't really ever answer, the Gemara never really answers this question. Because the Gemara had one simple question. Why don't we talk about a case where a person says that I borrowed $100 from your dad and I paid back 50? Because ultimately what the Gemara is going to say is, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that if the katan makes the tviya, then I'm chayiv to swear. So then why can't we just say that Rabbi Shua is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and the case is where the katan is not toiveya, and the reason why I'm neman is because I have a pesha asar. I didn't have to admit to anything. But the bottom line is, the way the Gemara is going to set it up is that according to the Chachamim, when the katan makes a tviya, I'm putter and I'm a meshav aveda, because I would have the audacity to deny everything. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I would not have the audacity to deny everything. Although, when all the dust is settled, the Gemara never really answered its original question, namely, why don't we just pick a case, instead of a case where I say, you know, I bought this field belonged to your father, I bought it from him, just say, I borrowed $100 from your dad, I paid back 50. And we'll say this goes like, it can't be the Chachamim, because according to the Chachamim, I'm Pater even if you're a Taiveya. But why can't it be, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that I'm Chayiv if you're a Taiveya, but if you're not Taiveya, I'm Pater. But just between me and you, the basic answer is that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say, if he's not Taiveya, I'm Pater because I'm a Meshiv Aveda. I fall under the category of the takana of the Chachamim, that you can't obligate me to swear when I didn't have to offer anything. It's different than Pesha Asa. Pesha Asa says, believe me, because I could have denied the whole thing. While Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say, if you're not Toiveya, then I fall under the category of Meshav Aveda. Let's read that inside. We're 6 lines from the bottom on Yud Chesam and Aleph. If you want to know where are the hard amudim in Ksubis, you're looking at it. This is Yud Ches, Yud Tes, are from the hardest blot in Ksubis. But the good part about it is that you could read it simply and have like a very elementary pshat. You know, some Gemaras, you're just like, you don't know what it's talking about. This Gemara, you could very easily fool yourself and read the words and understand it on a very elementary level. But here it goes. Elahacha bide Rabba kamiflagi. Here we're arguing in the shita of Rabba. Dama Rabba, mibnei ma omra Torah moide miktsas hatayna yishava. Why does the Torah say a moide miktsas should swear? Why should a moide miktsas swear? Shouldn't we believe him? Because he's being a nice guy. Isn't he a Meshav Aveda? I mean, don't we have a concept that if somebody comes and says, yeah, I found your wallet. The person says, really? There were $800, not $400. So you don't have to swear because I'm being a nice guy. I didn't have to return your wallet. Here too also. I didn't have to admit to anything. I'm being a nice guy. Now you're going to make me swear? Why would the Torah say I have to swear? The answer is, because Chazaka in Adameyaz Panim B'fnei Baal Chayvan. I would never have the audacity to look you in the eye and say, I don't owe you anything. I never borrowed the money. You can't tell me I'm being a nice guy. I have no alternative over here. You lent me the money. I know I wouldn't lie to your face. So that's why he has to swear. The question is, why would we believe him? Why should we believe him, but he is a liar? How could we have the guy swear, but why are you having him swear? Because you think that he really owes the whole thing. So if he really owes the thing, so then why do you trust him to swear? The answer is, The answer is the truth is, he really would have denied the whole thing. The first step is, why do we have him swear? Why don't he's being a nice guy? The answer is, he's not being a nice guy. He would never have the audacity to deny the whole thing. He would have if he could have. The reason he didn't, it's because he would not have the audacity to deny everything. So why do you believe him? The answer is, really, we think he's a nice guy. And we think he's an honest guy. And really, he would admit to the whole thing. Meaning, we would never have a liar swear. But we're not having him swear because we think he's a liar. We think really he would want to admit to everything. The reason he is not admitting, he's just stalling for time. Really, he would say, I taka owe you $100. But the reason why he says, I only owe you 50, is because he wants to pay back the other 50. He just doesn't have it on him. So in the meantime, he'll say, oh, I owe you 50. And then they'll be precise. They'll look into the case and they'll adjudicate the case. And he'll just buy time to get the rest of the money. Until I have money and I'll pay it. So therefore we say, no. If you're going to stall for time, you're going to deny it, and we're never going to be mechayiv, you'll never get around to paying. So Rachmana Amar, the merciful one, says, Rami shvua alei, throw a shvua on him, ki hechi delay delay, so that he admits bekulei in the whole thing. So, a moide b'miktsas, why does a moide b'miktsas swear? Moide b'miktsas swears because the truth is, we can't trust him fully. He really would want to deny the whole thing. He doesn't, because he doesn't have the audacity. Meaning, inherently, do we trust the guy? No. However, he has something keeping him in check. And that is, he's not going to brazenly lie to a guy who was nice to him and lent him money. So if that's the case, so then why don't we assume he's telling the truth that he already paid back half? The answer is because we suspect that he didn't pay back anything and he's just biding time. So the question is as follows. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Savar, Loishna Baiv, Loishna Bivnai, there's no difference between him and there's no difference between his son, Einoi Meyas. He would never have the audacity. So therefore, even though I am not telling the guy who lent me money that I paid back 50, he's telling the guy who the guy's son that I don't owe the other 50. So Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says we have to have him swear. Why do we have to have him swear? Because he has no... We can't say, believe him, because he would have been kaifer akal. In other words, you know why Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says have him swear? The guy says, why should I swear? If I was lying, I could have denied the whole thing. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says, nah, you never would have denied the whole thing. In other meis pan of lefnei bal chayvai. So therefore, Reb Elazar says that a moedim miksas swears even bivnai. For Rabbanon Savri, the rabbis hold, boyhu de inar meis. A moedim miksas won't have the audacity to deny the person who lent him money. Abba Vivnai Meis, you would have the audacity to lie to the son. Therefore, you can't have a Maidu Mikza swear. He has the right to say, believe me that I paid back half because I could have denied the whole thing. So we're never going to have you swear. You have evidence that you're probably telling the truth. Umedulai Heyes, the fact that you didn't deny it, Meshava Veda Havi, you are generously offering to pay half. You never had to do that. That's perfectly analogous to a guy returning a lost object who could say, don't bug me about the amount that I'm telling you that I found. I didn't have to show up in the first place. So too, when somebody's dealing with the son, say, you think I owe you more money? I could have denied the whole thing. You'd be happy that I admitted to half. That's how the Rabbanon look at it. The Rabbanon look at it that even when the son is saying, you're a liar, you owe my father more, I say, get lost. I could have easily denied the whole thing. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, on the other hand, holds that you're not a meshev aveda when the son is toivea, because you would not have the audacity to lie to the son. You don't say, well, why did I have to say anything? I'm a free willing offering half the money. The son says, no, you're not. You would never have the audacity to lie to me. However, listen carefully. But if the son is not toivea, and the person on his own says, I borrowed money and I paid back half, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that is meshev aveda. So the bottom line is, the reason we didn't pick a case in the Mishnah where the guy on his own said, I borrowed 100 bucks from your father, I paid back half, and you'd be neman because of a pesha asar, is because, listen carefully, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and it would be going according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that's not Pesha Asar. It's more than that. That's Meshav Aveda. That's why we didn't pick the case of where the guy says, I borrowed 100 bucks and I paid back 50, according to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, now we begin the sugya of Shtaris. Shtaris is a major sugya. Rabbi David Cohen, Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron, wrote a sefer on Ksubis just on the sugya of Shtaris. Okay, so it's like, it's a sugya, it's a Miktsoya bifnei atzmai. Basically, there are a few general ideas that we're going to deal with. One idea is that when Edim sign on a shtar, we don't necessarily know that it's authentic unless it's authenticated. Unless the Edim themselves say, yeah, this is our signature, or we find other Edim that testify this is their signature, or the Beis Din will match it up with other Shtarais. Now we know there's a general rule in testimony that when Edim testify, they can retract their testimony. Kivan Shehigid, Shuv Eino Chozer Umagin. There is a question, does that apply to testimony in a Shtar? Is that like being Magid, or that's different? That's just recorded testimony. So we've discussed so far two facets. Witnesses in a shtar need authentication. Number two, there's a question. Testimony usually cannot be retracted. Could it be retracted in a shtar? Third issue is, Edim are usually not believed to render themselves wicked. You can't say about yourself, by the way, I just want everyone to know that I look at my cell phone during Chazaras HaShatz. No, I don't believe you. You would never do such a thing. You have no nemanus to say that. To make yourself a Rasha? No. You have no nemanus to say, I don't believe you. We don't believe you to say that. So these are three principles, basically, that we're going to be dealing with. Says the Mishnah, Ha'edim sha'amru, k'sav yodeinu huzeh. Edim say, this is our handwriting. But yushino avalanusim hayinu. This is our handwriting, but we were coerced into giving the testimony. Or, psulei edus hayinu. We were disqualified to testify. We were relatives, or we were gamblers. Harei elu nemanim, they're believed. Why? Because we have no idea it's their signature, only based on their testimony. But they who say it's their signature also say they're not reliable. They say we signed it, but we're not trustworthy. That's a pesha asar. Harei elu nemanim. However, v'im yesh edim shuk sav yadim, if other edim testify it's their signature, so now we're not reliant on them anymore that it's a signature. Or we could match up their signature from another shtar, then they're not believed anymore to say that anusim hayinu, ketanim hayinu, because that they're only believed through a pesha asar, but once we verify their signatures independently, that destroys the pesha asar. Says the Holy Gemara, Amar Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama said, Now, the Havamina of Rami Bar Chama is that Rami Bar Chama is qualifying the Seifa, the situation where we have verification of their testimony, of their handwriting, of their signature from elsewhere. Loi Shanu, when does the Mishnah say that we can't believe the Edim in the Seifa, that they were Anusim, or Ketanim, or Psulei Edos? Hainu Machmas Mamoin. That's it, if they say, we were coerced by financial gain to testify. The reason why they're not believed, Rashi explains, Lav kol kiminayu l'shavu nafshi risham be'edus pim. They're not believed to render themselves wicked and to passel the shtar, because a person's related to himself. He's not believed on himself, not for merit and not for demerit. To by dinei nefashos, by psulei edus. And they're passeling themselves. When they say, we signed falsely for monetary gain. So Rami Bar Chama says, when the Seifa says they're not believed, when we can verify their signatures independently, that's when they say that we testified for monetary gain. But if they say, but if they say, we were coerced because our lives were threatened, so they're not rendering themselves wicked, they are believed. But in the Reisha, they're believed even if they say they testified for illicit financial gain. Why? Because apesha saru apesha hitter. We only know it's their signature through them. And they're saying, we did it for financial reason. If we could verify the signatures independently, then we can't believe them when they say that they have financial gain, because they're making themselves wicked. We can't believe them to say they're making themselves wicked. In the ratio, we could believe them. That's when we only know it's their signatures through their testimony. So, apesha asa or apesha hitter. But in the Seifa, where there is no pesha asa, pesha hitter, we can't believe them to render themselves wicked. But if they say their lives were threatened, then they're not making themselves wicked, so they're believed. That's how Rami Bar Chama understands the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, Amar Le Rava, Kol Kamine. Why would they believe to say in the Seifa that we testified because our lives were on the line? So they're retracting their testimony. Now the Gemara is asking on the Seifa. Why would they be believed in the Seifa to say we testified because our lives were on the line? They don't have the power to do that. Kivan Shehigid, once they said testimony, Shuv Einoi Chayzer Omagid, they cannot retract the testimony. Once they testified to whatever they testified to, they can't retract and say, no, we didn't mean to, our lives were on the line. And then, sorry, you already made the testimony, it's over, you already testified, you can't retract. Rashi's bothered, yeah, and why in the Reisha could you retract? No, in the Reisha, Ein Ksav Yod HaMotzim HaKam Acher. So we rely on them to say that it's their signature. It's one Haggadah. In the same sentence that you say, we signed, we say, we had financial gain. So it's one testimony. But in the Seifa, where they first testified about Reuven lent money to Shimon, and that was verified, and then they want to come back and say, no, we only did it because our lives were on the line. That's a violation of Kivan Shehigid Shavein Chayzer Magid. So Gemara says, really? Maybe that only applies to testimony given orally, but who says that applies to written testimony? Maybe the disqualification of Kivan Shehigid Shavein Chayzer Magid only applies to oral testimony. Avol b'shtar loy, but not to testimony in a shtar. The Amar Rish Lakish said, Edim hachasumim al hashtar, witnesses that sign on a shtar, naase kmi, it becomes as if shenechgara edusam bebezin, as if their testimony was investigated and verified in bezin. In other words, edus on a shtar is full-fledged testimony. So they already testified, so they can't make a comeback. So again, the Hava Mina Rami Bar Chama is that in the Reisha they could testify that they're wicked because we're completely reliant on them. But in the Seifa, they can't testify that they're wicked because they know the Mesa Matzmai Rasha. But they could testify that their life was on the line and there's no problem of Kivan Shegit Shemen Echazer Magad. But the Gemara is asking, there is a problem. So the Gemara reinterprets Rami Bar Chama. When Rami Bar Chama said his statement, he was going on the Reisha. The Reisha said, you're believed. Hareilu Nemanim. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama said, Loi Shanu Ela Sha'amru Anusim Ayinu Machas Vashas. In the Reisha, you're only believed to say that our life was on the line. That's how we testified. Avol Amru Anusim Ayinu Machas Vashas. They say that we had financial gain. Ein Nemanim. Why? Ein Adam Esim Atzmai Rasha. Even when you have a Pesha Asar, even when we're totally reliant on you, and you're the ones who say that this is our signature. So now we only know it's your signature based on you, but you're saying you had monetary gain? No, we can't believe you on that. If you say that your life was on the line, so we only know it's your signature through you, and you're not rendering yourself a Rasha, so we'll believe you that it's not reliable. But in the Seifa, where we have independent verification of your signature, you're not even believed if you say that our life was on the line. Why? Because Kivan Shehigid, once you testified, and that testimony was rendered by the verification, then you can retract it. Aval Amru Anusim Hayinu Machmas Mamoin, Ein Emanim. Why? My Taima, Ein Adam Mesim Asmai Rasha. Now, that's a big chiddush, even when you have a Pesha Asar or a Pesha Hitter. So basically we're switching on two things. Number one, if you have verification, you're never believed to change it because Kivan Sheheged. And number two, we thought originally you could make yourself a Rasha through Pesha Asar. Now we're switching on that. We're saying you're not even believed to make yourself wicked through a Pesha Asar. Tana Rabbana, the rabbis taught. Ein ne'emanim lepaislai. You're not believed to disqualify. Divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir says, you're not believed to pasul the shtar even when you say our life was on the line. And we don't know that it was your signature other than you. Reb Meir argues on our Mishnah. The Chachamim Oymrim Nemanim. The Chachamim say you're believed. Bishlam al Rabbanim. Bishlam according to the rabbis. Ki tamayu. Their reason is apparent. Sha'a pesha asura pesha hitter. Ela le Reb Meir. My time, why would Reb Meir say you're not believed? Bishlama to say you're psule edus. You're not believed to say that. Why? Because we assume the lender checked to make sure he got good edim. Malva gufe meikar meidak daik. The malva checked very well. The Malva would check to make sure the Edim were good. Okay, Rabbi, so we're going to hold it over here. We'll explain this line more next time. Actually, I think we did the Gemara on a much higher level than I thought we would be able to. I think we did a decent job with this. Definitely better than I had it. Very dramatic, different than I had it in my preparation. Okay, so in your zchus, you know, zchus harabim, it came to clear. It became clear to a certain, you know. Gemara Rashi. Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Shkoyach. Have a good night. Kol tov. Good night, good night. Good night, good night, good night.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.